My dear brothers and sisters, yesterday as the staff was working to cover the crosses and statues, as we do always for this last period of Lent called Passiontide, I thought how particularly apt it is as I looked at the cross and I saw Jesus is wearing a mask. Our Lord wants to always be so close to us. The mystery of the incarnation is all about him coming to us. You know, the veiling of the crosses reminds me that Jesus is often hidden in his presence, even when he's very close to us. What do we do here at Mass? We celebrate the Holy Eucharist by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bread and wine become the body and blood, soul and divinity of our blessed Savior. He's hidden under the appearance of bread and wine. He wears that mask, but he's here, right here among us. I think of that in relationship to the question posed to the Apostle Philip in today's Gospel. We want to see Jesus. Sometimes we have to look for him behind a mask. But not always. Recently, I had the funeral for one of our parishioners, and some months ago, during his lingering illness, the family told me a story of what had happened and gave me permission to share it. That there was a crisis and 911 was called and the paramedics arrived at the house and they found him with no pulse and they worked on him and they couldn't revive him. And so they had stopped working and they're standing there and all of a sudden, lying on the floor, he opens his eyes wide and has a radiant smile. His wife said, the only time she saw him smile like that was at the birth of their children. And he looks at them and he says, it's real. It's all real. I saw Jesus. And he said, I'm going to be okay. And he lived for another few months. And now he sees Jesus continually. And he is indeed okay. Now you and I can ask the question, how come he got to see Jesus and I didn't? I have to still find Jesus hidden behind a veil. And it's like the Apostle Thomas was told after the resurrection, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Or like Jesus said in today's gospel, that thunder from heaven that people heard, he said, that voice wasn't for me, it was for you. That parishioner who saw Jesus, yes, it was a blessing to him, but it was also for us a reaffirmation to trust in the presence of Jesus even when we don't see him. And frankly, if we're honest, we don't always want to see Jesus. There are times where I don't even want to ask God what his will is because I have my will and I'm set on it. I would like no disagreement here, Lord. I don't want to see you because I've already decided the course I'm going to take. Or we don't want to see Jesus when he comes to us under what Mother Teresa of Calcutta would call a distressing disguise. That poor person who's asking for our help. We don't want to see Jesus there, even though Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of these, you do it to me. Jesus tells us he's hidden under that mask too. Or that difficult person, the one who really gets on your nerves. And maybe the person is wrong on everything that you feel passionately about. We don't want to find Jesus there. We want to be rid of that person, get out of my life. And yet we know that person too was created in the image and likeness of God. And we don't want to see Jesus sometimes when he comes to us to say to us, it's time to come home. And we say, no, I'm just fine right here on earth, Lord. No need to rush. I'll be okay here. We don't want to see Jesus because we've tried to make our heaven on earth. And then there's that time when we don't want to see Jesus because when we unveil him, we find him in his passion. We find his face bruised and bloodied, crowned with thorns. And we realize those wounds are from our sins, and it convicts us. And sometimes we don't want to see Jesus in his passion because he's there offering the cross to us. And we'd rather not have the cross, despite the fact that he said, if you would be my disciple, pick up your cross and come after me. You know, at the beginning of Lent, we made promises about chocolate and television and whatever else. Those are the penances we chose. And when I ask the kiddos, they're very honest about how they've been doing. So-so. They might stumble, but then they start again. But those are the penances we choose. What really shows the mark of maturity in a disciple, what do we do with the penances we don't choose? When the cross comes to us, when Jesus offers us a share in his passion, what do we do then? Do we rebel in anger? Do we give in to despair? Are we angry with God? Or do we draw close to him and say, Lord, I need to lean on you more and more? Yes, Jesus unveiled in his passion invites us into that passion. Like Simon of Cyrene, we share the cross of our Lord. Not as a punishment, for you see, what was an instrument of torture has been turned into the symbol of the ultimate victory of love. Christ loved us so much that he was willing to undergo all of that for us. And so when the cross comes, it not only reminds us of the depth of his love for us, it invites us to become more loving as well. Sometimes we are so absorbed in ourselves, we need the cross to break the hardness of our hearts. And in that brokenness can now flow the merciful love of God. And sometimes only from that brokenness that we experience do we begin to be attentive to the brokenness of those around us, not in a judgmental way, but a compassionate way. Oh, sometimes we dread looking upon the face of Jesus when he's coming to offer us the cross. But the cross is not the end of the story. You and I do not live in a perpetual Lent. The cross is followed by the glory of the resurrection, new life. My dear brothers and sisters, let us find Jesus even when he comes to us hidden and masked. And let us draw close to him and let him lead us to the kingdom which is our true home.